In this first talk that we're going to give today, we're going to talk about the subject of friends. And on each one of these outlines, you'll notice that there are a few little figures and drawings. And since Clayton Highland arrived in my home early, well, I put him to work and had him draw a few pictures. So I think it kind of makes the outline a little more interesting. One of the challenges of that is you try to figure out what the picture means sometimes. And if you don't know, well, Clayton will tell you what it means. I may even tell you. Friends are really important in life. And, you know, somebody has said that a dog is man's best friend. And around our neighborhood, occasionally you'll see this big black dog. And this dog is going around the block with a skateboard following him. He's pulling a skateboard around the block with this big kid on the back of it on the skateboard. And he's going about 20, 25 mile an hour around the block. Sometimes you'll see him with a couple of kids back of him on the skateboard also. Reduces his speed a little bit. But not a whole lot. Sometimes he'll have a 250-pound football player on there with him. And it's really interesting to watch this because this kid's name is Danny Spence. And his dog's name is Sam. It's a dog that he got about a little over a year ago for his graduation present. And there's several things that I've noticed about his dog and the friendship that they have together. One of the things that I've noticed is that the dog is extremely loyal to him. He is more loyal to Danny than he is to anybody else in the world. There is no question in his mind, if several people call the dog at once, including Danny, there's no doubt about where he's going to go. The dog is also extremely forgiving. I've seen a few times when he's been mistreated or whatever, very accidentally. But the dog will forgive him every time. He comes right back for more, you know, and he's just that way. Also, the dog instantly greets him in the morning with lots of kisses. He's got a big red tongue, and his tongue just constantly goes in and out, you know, like that. He really loves the kiss. And the dog also is willing to sacrifice. If Danny wants to go on a skateboard, he's going to go on a skateboard. He never says, well, you know, I got to have a little time to myself, or I'm tired, I'm not up to this. Anytime he wants to go on a skateboard, he goes. Any load he puts on the skateboard, he'll try to pull it. And that's some of the characteristics of a good friend. He's also very protective. Some intruder comes in the yard, like you, he may not let you in. Until it's okay with Danny. If it's okay with him, then he'll let you in. Sometimes Danny will play fight with his friends, and the dog doesn't know that's play fighting. And Danny came in the other day with a big red teeth mark on his arm, and I said, "What happened?" He said, "The dog got mixed up. So whose arm it was?" Friends, friends are important, and you know it, and I know it. Why are friends important? You know, we can go right back to the beginning of this book, the Bible, and the Bible tells us that it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good. Friends are good because they provide us companionship. They provide us with someone close to us, someone who is loyal, someone whom we can talk to. Someone who will give us an instant greeting. Someone who will sacrifice for us. Someone who will protect us. And we need that. We need good friends. The day that we're living in, it's hard to find good friends. And we hope that here at Lassen you will find some good friends. Danny and Timmy went back this year to Carrollton to the conference. And the first couple of days of the conference, I saw them kind of wandering around, looking very lonely. And I said to them, I said, are you getting to know anybody? And they said, well, everybody is trying. But they said it's just hard to get to know people that you don't know. And then Monday came when the game started, and there were instant friendships building all over the place. And they have friends that they will have probably forever. Friends are really important, but, you know, sometimes there are times when there are certain limitations as far as friendships go. In Proverbs 22, you'll find that it's not good to make a friendship with an angry man. And, you know, there's some girls that get married to somebody and they don't find this out until after they've married. They've married an angry man. A lot of anger that is hidden down in there somewhere. Also, in James chapter 4, we find that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. That is, it's not good to build your friendships in the world. In 2 Timothy 2, we find that we shouldn't make friends with vessels of dishonor and things like that. So we have to be careful about how we choose our friends and where we choose our friends. And I know that some of you right now are having difficulty with this area of friendship in the world. There's a number of factors that are involved in friendship and why we would seek friends out there in the world. Are friends in the world loyal? Well, not always. Are friends in the world protective? Not always. Are Christian friends protective? Not always, you know. But friends out there in the world have a different set of standards. They have a different set of morals than we do. But sometimes we seek friendships out there in the world. Why? Now, I want you to listen very closely because I'm going to tell you there's several reasons, but I'm going to zero in on one of them. Every human being has a desire to be accepted. And rejection is one of the most difficult things in life to take. That's why boys are shy about asking girls. They're afraid of being rejected. That's why when things come up among friends at school, you and I are afraid to take a stand because we are afraid of rejection. We're afraid of people turning their back on us, looking down on us, making nasty comments about us. We want to be accepted. Isn't that not true? And I want to talk to you a little bit about acceptance. There's many different areas of acceptance. One is acceptance by our friends at school. The other could be acceptance by Christian friends. The other could be acceptance by our family. Another one might be acceptance by mom and dad. Another one might be acceptance, and this is the most important one, acceptance by God. Now, let's start back down through that list a little bit, and let's talk about being accepted by God. One day in the past, many of you were not accepted by God because of your sins. And you came to this, you came to the foot of Calvary's cross, and there you admitted that you were lost. You were a poor, rotten sinner. And God forgave you, and He accepted you because of the blood of Calvary's cross. And maybe you felt it, maybe you didn't, but you were accepted. And that's what Paul writes about in Ephesians chapter 1. He says you are accepted in the Beloved. That means you. It's one thing to be accepted by God, but to be accepted in the Beloved, there is nothing beyond that. That is, you are accepted as much as God's beloved Son. You are accepted in the Beloved. Now, If I had my pen out here, I would draw you a tremendous channel of acceptance coming down from God. He accepts you in the Beloved. He sees you in Christ. And you may say, but I don't feel it. You may say, well, when I pray, it doesn't get any higher than the ceiling. And the reason for that is that there's something wrong inside. It isn't wrong with God. God has already accepted you, and it's an unconditional acceptance in Christ, and you are brought into the very closest relationship. Is that not the most important thing as far as acceptance goes? Number two, all of us want to be accepted by our families. We want to be accepted by mom and dad. There are some parents that do not realize that acceptance is unconditional, and they will withdraw acceptance at times. Some of you may have grown up in homes where acceptance is conditional. That is, where it may be withdrawn. But I believe that what God is teaching us is that the Christian principle is unconditional acceptance. There may be someone in this room that has never felt accepted by their dad or their mom. There may be some that feel rejected by their brothers or sisters or someone else close. Now, listen to this. Here is where this is something that makes you extremely vulnerable to the world. If you do not feel accepted by God, if you do not feel accepted in the Beloved, then you will be vulnerable to acceptance by the world. Number two, if you are having trouble with acceptance at home, it will make it more difficult because everybody wants to be accepted and have friends. So you will look somewhere, anywhere, for somebody to accept you and say, hey, you can be a part of our group. The world also has a price tag on their acceptance, and they'll invite you in. That's where we're having a lot of difficulty today. And so you can see that when communion is cut off with the Lord, then you are more vulnerable to this enticement by the world and acceptance into their friendship. So we have to be careful about friends. It's not always good just to have a bunch of friends, but it is always good to have good friends. Okay? Now, the last question I ask here is, why do some people have all of the friends? And I just say that it's not always good to have all the friends. Now, I want you to just turn over quickly to Proverbs 18 and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, my understanding of that verse is something like this, that if you have, it's kind of the opposite of what the King James gives there, but it's something to the effect that if you have too many friends, you could come to ruin. Too many friends could ruin you. You know, but it's. I think what that verse is saying is that it's important to have friends. And if you want to take the King James interpretation, you must show yourself friendly. But don't worry about having 10,000 friends. Have a few good friends is better than to have a lot that will drag you down. Okay, why do some people have all the friends? How do I get friends? How do I build friendships? And things like that we're going to talk about now. The first thing, the first element that I want to talk about is the element of joy. And I'd like you to turn to John chapter 15, 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Do you think that if you were able to live 2,000 years ago and see the Lord Jesus Christ walking down the streets of Jerusalem, do you think that you would picture there a man who was depressed? Do you think that you would see a man who was sad? A man who was just downtrodden, and you could tell it in his eyes. I believe with all of my heart that even though Jesus was a man of sorrows, he was also a man of joy. And I believe that that joy exuded from his personality. I believe that you could tell it in his eyes. You could tell it in his facial expressions, that he was a man of joy. I believe there was a radiant love that came out from him that attracted you like a magnet, like a nail to a magnet. I believe that he was full of a joy that was so far beyond all the joys of this world that he attracted people. He also made some people jealous because of it. The element of joy. And I just say to each one of you, you know, I know the feeling. I know, you know, when you don't have friends, we tend to stand around on the edge and we feel sorry for ourselves. And we're looking, pretty soon we begin to criticize and we begin to complain. And it's just kind of it kind of weighs us down. But you notice here that what he says is, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." The fruits of the Spirit, that is, everyone who has been saved here this afternoon, is a fruit-producing Christian. And you will produce the fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. And it talks about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And you will produce these automatically. But there are three of them, love, joy, peace, that are mentioned right here in John chapter 14 and 15. In chapter 14 and verse 27, he talks about, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." In chapter, and the one that we read in verse 11, "My joy," and the one in verse 9, "My love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." So there are three fruits that are mentioned right in this chapter that Jesus says, "I will give to you. The same joy that I had, I will give to you. The same peace I had, I will give to you. The same love I had, you have for one another." So those fruits come from an extra close relationship with Jesus. That's where you will get that. You automatically produce them all, but these come from a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives them personally to you. And the result is that you will be attractive as a friendship material to someone else. Do you think if I were going to make friends with anybody that I would look for somebody that looked disgruntled? Do you think that I would look for the most depressed looking person in the audience? Say, "I'd like to have him for a friend." Really the kind of person I'm looking for? And yet when we get into the next point that I want to make, we'll find that there were people that maybe they didn't seek friends like that, but they wanted to help people like that. Jesus had an interest in other people, and we can find that from Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. I really love this verse a lot because it tells us a lot about what kind of person the Lord Jesus was. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That's the kind of person that he was. He loved the poor. You know, I think when a lot of us think about friendships, we think, "Well, I'd like to get really friendly with somebody who is rich." He loved the brokenhearted. And when we think about that, we think, "Well, I don't want to get too close to someone who has a broken heart because there's a lot of pain there." Jesus loved the brokenhearted. And he came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free. And we were talking the other night about being captivated by sin. And you'll notice in some of Clayton's drawings on page 3 that he's got a couple of shackles there. He's got a couple of shackles. One shackled to the world, and the other is shackled to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that shackle to Christ breaks the shackle with the world. But it is something that is voluntary. It's something that voluntary, and that's why Clayton put a key there. And I was asking Clayton about this, and he said, "You know, you can put your name in on as to owning that key. You are the one that has the key that unlocks that as to whether you really want to be that close to the Lord Jesus Christ." There's a little check down at the bottom, and I was asking Clayton about that one, and he said, "You've got a life that you live one day at a time." And he says, "Every day you pay out in your life to somebody." And he said, "If you want to fill this check out to the Lord Jesus Christ and pay it to Him, you can do it and sign your name at the bottom of it. The Lord Jesus came to set the captives free. And He had an interest in other people. He loved other people. He had an unselfish love. The Son of God who loved even me and gave Himself for even me. Now we'll go down to C in the outline. We'll talk a little bit about that. I think that one thing we need to consider is, what do I have to offer in this friendship? You know, there's a lot of people that want friends just for what they can get out of it. Why, you know, this person has a nice car, so I could ride in this car. Or this person has a ski boat, so I could go with him. Or he has a surfboard, maybe he'll loan me the surfboard. Or he's taking a trip to Israel, maybe he'll invite me along. A lot of us have a desire to have friends for what we can get out of it. And those kind of people do not make very good friends. Eventually, people will get a little bit tired of them. So friendship has to have something to offer. Turn over to Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I enjoy this verse a lot, because I think God looked down and He saw certain people who were very hospitable. And He knew the problems of hospitality. The food bill goes up, the car gets wrecked, the chariot got wrecked. There's some damage to the house. Somebody stayed too long. And all of this. And I think that God was looking down at this and He was saying, I think I'm going to give this person a very special surprise. So He says to this angel, go down and pay him a visit. Now, what do you think it would be like for an angel to walk in your home and pay you a visit? Well, I think it must have been the most delightful experience of those people's lives. I think they must have remembered it forever. I think they must have sat back and said, wow, that one was sure different. I wonder who he was. We were, Sharon Rusink and Tabby Ness had a little car trouble on the way up. And they got me out of bed about 12 o'clock midnight or somewhere. And anyway, I went down there to Reading. And there was a lady who had kept them in her car till 1 o'clock in the morning or something like that for a couple of hours while somebody arrived down there. And I was telling this story the next morning at the at our prayer meeting, our counselor's prayer meeting, and Tim Cederlin said, I wonder if it was an angel. And I said, no, it was a Jehovah's Witness. God can even use the Jehovah's Witness to take care of our people if He has to. There must not have been any Christians driving up that road or something. But, you know, God is able to do that. Hospitality is important in friendship. But many of us have been on the taking end of that hospitality. And what we want to look at is, you know, ways in which we might be able to give to someone who has given to us. Now, when I was your age, there were certain people in the meeting in Des Moines that had me over for dinner a lot. And you can imagine what this cost, you know, to have me and my two brothers and half the other boys over at the same time. I know it cost them a lot of money. And, you know, I didn't have a cent at that period of my life. I didn't have any money. And I didn't know what to do when I went there. So always after dinner, we would offer to do the dishes. They didn't have dishwashers in those days. I wish I would have lived maybe 30 years later, but I lived then. There were no dishwashers, so we would say, how would it be if we do the dishes? And I never got turned down once. And I went over to visit one of these, dear, I call them my mother, my Des Moines mothers, went over to visit Ruth Harlow, who had been one of these dear ladies. And I was visiting for a while, and I said, Ruth, what do you have? You got some jobs for me to do? And she said, you know, by the way, I do. And I said, okay. Went up and we moved some furniture around and sat down again. I said, how about another job? Well, there is something that I haven't been able to fix, so we did that one. Well, how about another job? Well, there's a mouse that has been in my house. I wonder if you could catch it. So we set the trap for the mouse. We never did catch the mouse. But you see, this kind of thing, these are kinds of things that we want to look for so that we have something to offer in this friendship. Proverbs 25 and verse 17, I just want to skip down. You don't need to turn to that necessarily. But why don't we turn over to it so you will get a little feel for this verse. I think this is a significant verse. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he weary of thee and so hate thee. I think about this one a lot because I travel around a little bit and I stay at your house, some of your houses. And you know what I always try to do is leave before I get asked to leave. You know, it's always good to stay on the short side, you know, of things and make sure that people really want you there. You know, one thing that's really instructive to me in the life of the Lord is that on that way to Emmaus, you know, when he was walking with those people, when they got to home, I'm sure they were tired and they were thinking about going in and going to bed and so on. He made as though he would go further. Where was he going to stay? I do not know. I don't know what was on beyond the road. But he made as though he would go further, and they insisted that he come in. So those are a few little tips that I just say. Make sure that your friendship is something that has something to offer other people. And it's a way of building friendships. The Lord Jesus always gave something. When he went to dinner at the Pharisee's house, he gave something. When he went to dinner at Martha's house, he gave them something. Maybe it was the gift of fellowship and love and kindness or something like that. That's what they really need. Now we're going to talk a little bit about confidentiality. And we could turn over, since we're in Proverbs, to chapter 20 and verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Kind of an interesting verse. And I have to admit to you that this is an area that I've struggled with some in my life, because as a teenager, I had a problem with acceptance. I didn't have a whole lot of company. In fact, zero almost, except my two brothers until I was about 13. And I didn't know how to interface with people. But I found that one thing that people would always do is they'd always listen to gossip. So I'd feed them a little gossip, and at least I'd have their ear or their friendship for a little while. But this is not the kind of thing that Scripture really recommends. That's the person who reveals secrets. I'm going to tell a little story here that I've never told publicly before. I always tell these stories at last, and this story is kind of bad. Hope you'll understand. We had one time in my life, there was a young person who was a gossip. And I think that she was struggling with the same thing that I was struggling with. And she always would gossip about this one person. And she just seemed to really, really criticize him a lot. Well, he happened to be a close friend of mine. And I didn't especially appreciate all of that gossip. I probably was true. So one day we decided that we would teach her a little lesson about gossiping. So my friend and I called her up and said, "How would you like to go out to dinner?" She said, "It'd be great." So we went over and we took her out to dinner. Well, our plan was that we would put the person that she talked about in the back seat of the car. He would be down behind the seat, hidden to everyone else. And so then we would go out. We would have dinner together at one of these drive-in restaurants or whatever. And we would prime the pump, get her going, and then he would sit up in the car very slowly. And that would teach her a lesson, don't gossip anymore. Well, we got out there and we primed the pump, and sure enough, it took right off. was really going strong there, and it got worse and worse and worse, and pretty soon I was looking in my rearview mirror, and here was this head coming up in the back seat. And I made a on-the-spot decision that this was wrong. So I took my hand back like this, and I go, shh, down like that. Pretty soon the head would come up again, and down, you know. We're looking over our shoulders, down, you know. And so we took her home, and she doesn't know it to this day. She didn't learn a lesson, but we did. That was the wrong way to deal with the problem. And one of the things that I have learned in this area of gossip is to always be a dead-end street to people's stories. You know, when sometimes people have to talk, sometimes I have to talk, the burden builds up, it gets so great, and someone will come to you, not in a gossipy way necessarily, you don't know whether it's gossip or not, they'll come and they'll share a burden. Make sure that you are a dead-end street and you do not allow that story to go any further. Confidentiality in friendship is something that is absolutely essential. And if someone comes to you and they're sharing a lot of critical kinds of things, why, the best thing to do is esteem that person that they're talking about better than yourself. In other words, to find something good to say about them. You know, and you'll find that all of a sudden that person begins to feel extremely uncomfortable and very gently has a way of very gently turning the tide in the other direction. Stability is important in friendship. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and things like that. But those are things that characterize the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want to encourage you to do here this afternoon is to build a friendship with Him. The kind of friendship that will be a lasting friendship. The reason that you're seeking the friendship of the world is because you have not built into your life a friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine Jean and I being married and not talking to one another for 1 year? Well, I can imagine me doing it, but I can't imagine Jean, that she would ever do that. You know, we need to talk. Greatest friend I've ever had down here is my wife. Those of you who are seeking a wife or a husband, which includes about 99% of you, those of you who are seeking that, remember that that person will end up being in a position of being your best friend. That's why friendships are so important. You know, one of the things that we have to do every year at Lassen is we have to draw lines. We have to make a few rules. Sometimes we make them too high. Sometimes we make them too low. But one of the things that we did here at Lassen is we drew the line as far as boyfriend-girlfriend relationships at a very high level. Do is to build a friendship, to get to know the other person without physical involvement. Kind of neat, huh? Yeah, it's good, because that's what marriage is all about. It's a good friendship. And but can you imagine Jean and I going a whole year or a whole day or a whole hour without talking to one another? We talk to each other all the time. But can you imagine a Christian going 1 month without talking to the Lord? The most loyal, the most faithful, the most forgiving, the most loving, the most sacrificing friend that you will ever have in all of life and in all of eternity is sitting there in the glory this afternoon wanting your friendship. And some of you have not talked to him for the last week or month or year. And, you know, you're losing out and he's losing out. You are the biggest loser. The Lord never will withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. He has many blessings that he wants to give you in life. And he has them ready to pour out upon you. But you got to want that friendship. and you got to start building. Friendships are built. They don't just happen automatically, suddenly like that. They are built over a period of time. Okay, it's 2:15, so it's time to close. Let's bow in prayer.